Morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here with you all. The privilege to open up God's word. And as we were singing that, not only the words of the song coming again, but also the melody is very similar. I had the privilege once working at a job. Some jobs, you know, are just, you remember them a little bit better than other jobs. This one, we were working for a doctor, and he was home that day, and he was playing piano, and he's a very good pianist. He's probably concert pianist quality, and he's in there, he's playing How Great Thou Art, and then he goes right into Someday My Prince Will Come. It was flawless, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, that is good. I like that. I really like that. Someday our prince is coming, and he's our king. And as we've been reminded from our brother last week and through the week, that indeed our king is coming. And of course, we know from scripture, it seems as we look around the world, not just in Ukraine, not just what's happening with Russia invading, but other things. I mean, they're talking by what, 2026, we're all going to have digital IDs, could be implanted, things like that, different things like that. You know, just maybe, I don't know, maybe an old book that's kind of dusty and irrelevant these days, you know, maybe talked about it once or twice. And so we'll get to that. But let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. That as we look around the world, we are over and over and over and over and over again reminded of what you've said is coming to pass. That soon your son is going to return. The king is going to come. And Lord, I pray that as we see the signs, Lord, that we would see him. That we wouldn't see this world. We wouldn't see these temporary things that aren't going to last. And Lord, it is easy for our hearts to become anxious. It's easy for us to take our eyes off of Christ and put it on our circumstances. And Lord, we don't want to be like Peter who saw you walking on the water and said, Lord, let us come out and start to sink after we take our eyes off you. So Lord, in these last days, whether they're the last days of this world or just our last days, Lord, you've appointed man to live and then to die. And then the judgment. And Father, I pray that we would be ready at all times to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. We give you thanks now. Guide me, I pray. Guide the words that come out of my mouth and have them not be my words, but have them be yours. And we just pray that the church here would be built up and that souls would be saved. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Going to pick up where our brother left off and kind of go in back just a little bit for context into where he was at. Really did appreciate you can tell the length of study that he goes to get the historical background, and just appreciate it. We're going to read the whole chapter for context and also to break in at the beginning as well. But concerning times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and to admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. As our brother opened up and reminded us, the King is coming. And what a joy that is, especially, there are so many things in this world that are we like. You know, I don't mean to pick on our brother Dave, but he always mentions that thing, ooh, shiny. You know, there's always some new ooh, shiny thing that comes along that grabs our attention and can get us distracted and become overwhelming in our thoughts. And I remember once, actually, I was with Dave. We were at this, it was the most redneck thing I think I've ever done. It was, we were at the racetrack and we were watching, it was the Smash-O-Rama, and it's fantastic. It really is. It's a good time. It really is. And they had all these, one of the things was these cars where they were all front wheel drive cars, and they're driving around without the back wheels on. You know, racing around the track, and sparks are flying everywhere. I'm like, man, can there just be like a leak in the gas tank? That would be great. Just watch the whole thing blow up. And another one where they have the track set up in a figure eight, and the buses are going around, and they're not supposed to slow down, even, you know, because you want to see the crash. And like I said, it's like the most redneck thing I think I've ever done, and it was fantastic. I mean, I did go to NASCAR once, and that was fantastic. Got to go to Daytona and watch who was my favorite NASCAR driver win, Bobby Allison. And he was my favorite because he drove the number 88 Gatorade car. And Gatorade at 12 years old is like the drink, especially being in Florida and being a Florida Gators fan like I am, because that's where it got its name. It was developed in the University of Florida, sold to Pepsi. And anyhow, Gatorade was, it is what it is. That said, when we were there, we got out of the car and we were heading towards the track, and we turned, we're walking through the parking lot headed towards the thing, and there was a brand new Ford F-150. And it was this beautiful, like orangish rust colors, metallic finish. Just, I mean, it was gorgeous. It was a 10 out of 10, let me tell you. And I, that lust of, oh, you know, the flesh desiring those material things, and, you know, every base human emotion that a man can have towards a machine were right there on four wheels and in four wheel drive. And I was caught up with it. And obviously, how many years later was that? Still can tell you exactly all about it. So that shows how much our hearts and our flesh can be drawn away by the things of the earth. And I say that not to, you know, and I make light of it because it's all those years ago, but yet we know the very real pull of this world upon our lives and how easily things of the earth can drag us away and take our focus off of what really matters. So we come here to the fifth chapter of Thessalonians, which we have dealt with as Paul, when we first got there, he said, we give thanks, and this is in the first chapter, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You remember these three? Does anybody have them written down? Your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see an F-150 in there at all. Those three things that he reminded the Thessalonians of in the beginning of the book. And we see how he reminds them that Christ is coming back. And here we have again in the fifth chapter, a continuation of those thoughts that Christ is coming back, and describes to them briefly of what things are going to be like. It says, they will say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And I know this, has anybody noticed in the last, I mean, I know we had COVID over the last 2 years and things, but even before then, it's just like things are, you're just waiting any day. It seems like something worse could happen. You're, as the expression says, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Is there's going to be something else. You wouldn't be surprised if when we got done with this meeting to find out gas is $5. I mean, you could go home, and believe me, that's one of the distractions of this world, as I drive a gigantic box on six wheels, let's not cheat it. Those back four is what pushes the whole apparatus. And as I pump and pump and pump 35, 36 gallons, whatever it is, into that thing, and I'm just watching my bank account just deplete as the tank fills up. And it's a very real thing to when you get the receipt at the end and it says $150, you know, on there, and you're just like, okay, anyhow, you can start to feel woozy. It is, and so as we see these things happening, it's going to continue that way. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until the Lord comes back. And we are, as I had the privilege of watching my wife give birth to our three children, and just how the contractions, yeah, they start, and they get worse and strong, they get more frequent and they get stronger as the child is about to be born. And just as the child is about to be born, we are coming to the end of the age. And I got kind of hung up, I'll be honest here, when it says, when they say peace and safety, well, who are the they? We could say, yeah, the media, politicians, those in the world, but I like what Rich Mullins said. The brother just has a way with words, and I really like it. So I'm just going to read a song. Probably it's not a song you can, well, not, I was told brethren don't dance. This one does, but anyhow, I like to dance, so hold that against me if you will. But anyhow, this is what he said. They would have us think, as Dysart said, this is a song called Higher Education in the Book of Love. It's a real catchy song title. Said they would have us think, as Dysart said, and as are forever bound up in certain genetic, that we are forever bound up in certain genetic reins, that we are merely products of the way things are, and not free to be people who make them that way. They would have us see ourselves as products, that we would believe that we are something to be made, something to be used, and something to be disposed of, used in their wars, used for their gains, and then set aside when we get in their way. Well, who are they? They are the few who sit at the top of the heap, dung heap though it is, and who say to us, it is better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. When you boil it down to that, yeah, this world is a dung heap. It's a beautiful one. The Lord did a great job. But the world system that we have made is not. And just thinking of when Satan offered Christ the world, he couldn't offer anything that wasn't his. And he is in charge of this world. He is in charge of the world system. That's why the world and the flesh and the devil are our enemies. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, and let us watch and be sober. Not just merely free of alcohol, free of drugs sober, but sober-minded in these last days. Reasonable, thoughtful, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And I want to look on to from the 12th verse on, because I look at it as Paul said in Titus, I believe in the second chapter, where he said, we are to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, while we're there, keep your finger there. Just flip back with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing that first that scoffers will come in the last days, walking around to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of God, ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What manner of person ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? 1 John chapter 3 gives us a great picture. Whoop, going the wrong direction. Of course, I'm not going to find it going backwards. But 1 John chapter 3 tells us, we love the first verse of 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. That's an amazing thing right there. That therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. as I read that. Both I'm encouraged and discouraged because I see how I am now and how I fall short and come so short every day of meeting the standard of Christ, and yet encouraged by the simple fact that someday I'm going to be like him. And it is with those verses, those passages as a backdrop, I want to look at the very end of the chapter, because I think this is how you and I should hear the Grace Gospel Chapel live until Christ returns. It says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for the works, for their work's sake." And as I read that, I remember when I first was looking at Thessalonians and not sure where the Lord would have me start. And really, I wasn't thinking we'd go through the whole book, but I'm glad the Lord has led us that way. I remember looking at this passage possibly being the only one that we would look at and thinking, boy, that seems just self-serving as an elder to get up here and preach this. And it is not that. It's all those who labor in the word. Yes, those who are over you in the Lord. But there is, just as there is no difference in male and female in the Lord, there is, we only have one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our head, and he has placed in the order of the assembly those to be overseers, those to be shepherds, to go after, to look after, to watch out for the sheep. And it is an amazingly humbling thing, just that he, sometimes I just a personal confession, sometimes I look at the Lord, I say, "Lord, why this plan? Why feeble, faithless men?" I don't want to say that about all men, but just failed men that are imperfect over the one who is the sheep that Christ has died for. And that's what spurs the brothers on to seek and to serve the body. It says, "Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. It is easy for those who see ourselves as strong to say, 'Hey, what's your problem? Come on. The Lord's given us all things for life and godliness, and those in Christ Jesus.' But I don't suppose there's a man or woman here this morning who hasn't gone through the valleys. Now, our brother has reminded us there are two mountains. And as far as that, those two mountains go, brother, we got to be in the foothills of the second mountain when he comes back. But anyhow, that's a side piece. But we know we can have, as reminded me, because our brother Dave Reed, brother back in Warrenville, he always would describe it as those mountaintop experiences where we feel like we are sitting right next to God himself. And we are having those highs in the Christian life. But then there are those times we are in the darkest valleys spiritually. And we just feel like David says, "Lord, where are you? Where are you? I feel so alone here." And we know those feelings and we know those moments. And yet he's never left us. It's us usually who wanders off. But our job, all of us, is we are able to exhort one another, to encourage those and comfort those. And what better comfort can we have than to remind each other that the King is coming back, that he is coming back and he is not delayed, as we just read. He's not slack concerning his promises, even as some count slackness, but he is so patient. He is so wanting to see people be saved. And I have certain people that I'm holding out and praying for that will be saved before he does come back. And so I am glad that he's not here today. He has not come back to take us home yet. It says, so see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. You know, it's, we can get so offended so easily. And we're so quick. But let's make sure we don't render evil for evil. But be always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. As my mom would tell me, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Boy, rejoice always. I can tell you this. Rejoice always. It's in Philippians chapter 4, but I don't think of it when I'm pumping $160 worth of fuel into my gigantic box on wheels. Pray without ceasing. Boy, the older I get, the more I realize I start out my day before my feet hit the bed, or before my feet hit the floor, I'm praying to the Lord. And then when my head rests on the pillow, I'm still praying to him, because there are things in life that terrify me more and more. You know, problem with getting older is you realize how weak and how temporary you are and just how little effect you have on things. I mean, let me tell you, I thought I was something at one point in my life, and then I realized, boy, I am nothing. And I'm glad for that. I really am. Because the world needs less of me. It needs more of Christ. This, and it needs less of you, and it needs more of Christ too. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I never understood those happy, joyful Christians when I first got saved, I'll be honest, who were, oh, the world's coming to an end, but praise the Lord. What? Like, come on, this is terrible what's happening. But that's the way we should be. The older I get, I realize, no, joyful. Because that much sooner with Christ we are. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Boy, in these last days, do we need to test all things? Because there are so many philosophies in this world that are competing for your mind. So many outright lies on the TV. Things are not what they think they seem to be. And in books, those that profess to be Christian books are not Christian books. Test all things. We have a Holy Spirit. I have said this before. My brother used to work at a bank, and his job was to make sure the money, the cash that they got, was real cash. It wasn't to study the counterfeit stuff to decide whether this was real currency or not. It was to study the real thing. There is no substitute for reading God's word. Don't leave it up to Sam to come up some week, or leave it up to Doug to come up some week, or myself, or whoever. It is your job, your right, or your duty. God is not going to come up, well, and, you know, I didn't hear Brother Sam say that, so I didn't know. No, that's not an excuse. Each one of us are to be in this book and to be studying it daily. Can't shift blame off to your parents. Can't shift blame off to your anything. We are to know God's word, and that's how we are able to test all things and then to hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil, we are told. It's so easy. It isn't just F-150s that can get us led astray. It's philosophies in the world. It's the things of the flesh. It's the world. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and it's our own pride in our lives that lead us astray. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. That's what he wants. Same as back in the fourth chapter, beginning of it. It's our sanctification. It's our separation from the world. It's what makes us different that is going to lead people to Christ. The reason why he hasn't come and taken us home yet is because he wants us to have influence around those around us. And it's so easy for me to get distracted by the things of this earth. I mean, I read the news. I see what's going on. I watch videos and think, well, why don't we just do this? It would make things so much better. Sure, we could lower gas prices tomorrow. Be real easy. I could give you all the reasons of how we could lower gas prices. But that's not our job here. And it's not our job to go and complain about gas prices. Our job is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom here. If anyone does not know Christ, if anyone has not accepted Christ as their Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you have. I think of my own personal testimony and how the Lord saved me from where I was, floundering, wandering from party to party, from just all the things that I used to do. And it doesn't really matter what my sins were. We all sin, whether it's a sin of pride, the sin of sexual immorality, the sin of covetousness, the sin of a murderer, the sin of a thief, whatever it is sin. And God says the soul that sins must die. But the good news is one who is born twice dies once, and those who are born once will die twice. And if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even need to fear death, because all it is falling asleep, as scripture says, and waking up to newness of life. And what a joy that he would take me, one who has violated so many of his commands. It would make me a son, an heir. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to inherit on this earth. I really don't care. I've got a mom, a stepmom, Karen's parents, and let's just say that they pass away, and everything they give to Karen and I, so what? I've got an inheritance that is incorruptible, one that cannot be taken away. You know, I'm going to say gas prices again, because it's foremost on my mind. I spend a ton of money every week on gas, so you'll forgive me. The gas prices can take that inheritance away. You know, food prices can take all that away. The inflation that we're going through can take it all away. Moth and rust can take it away. There could be a thief at my house right now and take everything away. And my dog would just sit there and go, don't hurt me. And all of it could be gone. But we have an inheritance that is incorruptible from the Lord. And what's that inheritance? It's Jesus Christ. We can never lose him. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has paid a price with his own blood for us. And he's not going to renege on his promise. He's not going to say, well, you know, I kind of meant that 2,000 years ago. But no, it's the same today as it is ever. And we have this great and glorious promise that is coming, that he is going to come and take us home to be with himself. What a great thing. I want to read it. I don't want to gloss over it. John 14. It is the greatest promise you and I have. He says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of things that can trouble us. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, say it with me, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. What a promise. What a promise that someday we're going to be with him and we're never going to leave. And as Keith Green said, he said, if God created this world in 6 days and he's been gone 2,000 years preparing a place for us, we're living in a dumpster, man. Let's close. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, Almighty God. And you're our dad, not because of anything we did, but because of your promise, because of your son, what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. 2,000 years ago, he took my sin, even though I hadn't been born. He took it and he nailed it to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, I just pray that if there be anyone, any people here today, whether here in this building or online, that do not know Christ as their Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. Today will be the day before Christ comes back, they would be saved. Lord, I thank you that you have written your word down. We can have a copy of it. We can study it. We can know it. And Lord, that we can know what is true and know what is false. And Lord, I pray that we would be about the work of an evangelist, that we would work to show ourselves approved. Or not that we would try to earn our salvation or be worthy, but simply out of love and affection for you, want to show forth Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live in these last days as it's getting darker and darker in a way that will bring light to this world. Give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.